audio on demand, podcast, streaming live. Calgary's only 24/7 all sports radio. Sportsnet.ca/960. The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary Flames taking on the Minnesota Wild for the first time since, well, I think we all remember what happened last time, and Johnny Gaudreau has yet to play a game since then. But I've got to tell you, I've seen a lot of things, and I've seen this game grow and change, but I was not prepared for what I saw today in the Flames dressing room. Here's exclusive Sportsnet 960, The Fan audio of an exchange between the captain and the general manager of the Calgary Flames.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Unbelievable, Pat.
Can you play that one more? Can you play that one more time?
Again, exclusive one more to time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's
sounds,
head.
I just did.
Sounds slightly peculiar. There might be something off about that.
What do you mean?
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
Something peculiar. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something strange about that clip. Can't really.
But it's exclusive. Nobody else has that. It was something that I'd never seen before.
That's an exchange between the. You stayed late.
I stayed late. Well, that's what a good reporter does, Pat. He hangs around and waits when nobody else is there. That's when you get the gold. And I stumbled upon this. I'm absolutely dumbfounded as we get set for this game tonight between the Flames and the Wild.
I give you credit, because if I were doing that, I wouldn't have tried to like even match the voice. I would have just said, Eric Staal, and then gone like that.
Do you think I did that?
I think that you did a nice job making your voice.
That's not my voice.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
Whose voice is that?
I'm not going to tell you now.
Do it one more time.
That's Mark Giordano's voice.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty
Wouldn't
on a man's
be
head.
Brad Treliving putting the bounty
no.
on?
No.
So he's no. telling the GM that he's putting a bounty
in
on.
In this case, it would be much easier if Mark Giordano was the player coach of the Calgary Flames. I think it would. But no. Brad Treliving is the second player. One more time.
So Brad Treliving is the one objecting here.
Yes.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
Brad Treliving is very adamant that he doesn't agree
with
this.
Just did. Old-time hockey, Pat. Old-time hockey.
I really want to know who the other voice is.
It doesn't matter. Can't you just enjoy the moment?
No, because now this is going to bother me.
Can't you enjoy the moment?
You know me. Of course I can't.
Can't you just
enjoy
the
moment? Let me give you a little hint, Pat.
Yes.
Give me a second.
Yes, I do want a hint. If you don't want
to go, Scott.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Welcome. All right.
It's a gravelly voice that Graham's got.
Yeah,
nice.
But
gravelly Graham.
All right. Well, we've had our fun. The last time these two teams played, everybody knows Eric Staal, the Flames, not happy. His slash on the hand of Johnny Gaudreau, who's missed the line, you know, stayed out of the lineup. It's created quite a debate and quite a conversation. Comes to a head is maybe the wrong way of putting it, but these two teams meet tonight. Let's kind of hear from all the particulars. First of all, I'm going to come out of order, Will, so get ready for an audible here. Here's Eric Staal, who, you know, obviously the slash is what it put Johnny Gaudreau out. I don't get the sense that Eric Staal is shaking in his boots tonight.
Hopefully it wins for us. I mean, that's the main focus for our group, but you never know what's going to happen. You go out and prepare the same way regardless. Obviously it's unfortunate player his caliber to go down and that injury to happen, but I mean, it's part of the game. There's slashes happen. That's not going to be the last time he's going to be slashed, and it's not the last time I've ever been slashed. So, I feel bad because you know, missed time and one of those things that's unfortunate, but for me, I'm going to prepare the same way and try and help my team get 2 points because it's a big game for us.
The getting 2 points seems to be a common theme. Derek Englund, who was cornered today by the massive media in the Flames dressing room, he talks about really what their objective is tonight, seeing the Wild for the first time.
Got to worry about the 2 points first and foremost. You know, it's another game. Obviously, that happened. It's unfortunate that it knocked them out, but we can't go running around chasing guys around and get off our game. We got to worry about the 2 points because that's most important. And you know, I think everything else will take care of itself.
Kind of the same refrain from everybody, and Troy Brower said the same.
Everybody
thing.
Said the same. Yeah. The only guy that,
other than Giordano, who put a bounty on
when we heard that, yes, yeah, that's right. But here's Coach Bruce Boudreau, who is a little bit agitated by it, but I'm not so sure he's agitated as much about what happened and what was said as much as being asked repetitively about it. Here's the head coach of the Minnesota Wild.
They've played 20 some games this year. Every game somebody slashed somebody on the hands. So, I mean, it's not the viciousness of the slashes. It's the gloves are getting less and less padding, and scorers tend to not want anything in there, so their hands are more free. Look at Eric Staal, has never been accused of being, a goon or anything. So, I mean, you got to believe that it wasn't intentional. As to what they can think what they think. But I know our team, and I was just explaining, is one of the least penalized teams in the league for the last 5 years. So, I mean, you don't think that we were targeting out there by any stretch of the imagination.
So, oh, by the way, Bruce Boudreau appeared as an extra in Slapshot.
Yes, he did.
So I just thought I'd throw that in there. I can't, you know what, Pat, I want to sit here and say next, let's move on, it's not a story. It is a story. It is a story because it's being made into a story. I was at an event last night in which fans had a chance to talk to the Flames coaching staff, and that question got up. Somebody asked, you know, what are you going to do? Why didn't you stand up? What are you going to do? And you know, I suppose you can gloss over and not talk about it, but everybody else is talking about it. To me, it is a little bit reflective of where we're at, kind of that old way and new way of doing business. And where do we find the whole fighting debate? Look at where fighting is in this game compared to where it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Retribution, those types of things. I mean, all of those are still kind of in the lexicon. All of those are still in the conversation. But it really, in my view, it isn't that league anymore. And I find sitting here today talking about this, not frustrating at all, just kind of reflective about it. It's kind of where we're at with the game right now. Kind of that mix of old and new.
Yeah, and I mean, it's strange because, you know, in on the one hand or out of one side of my mouth, I say, look, slashing is what it is. It's part of it. Could they call it a little tighter? Yep. Should they, could they maybe be a little bit more strict on it on the ice? Yeah, I think we can absolutely have that conversation. But I don't think slashing is going anywhere. And I look at slashing as, you know, guys trying to get other players off the game. And sometimes you'll get penalized and sometimes you won't get penalized. But
is
all
it
of
getting
a sudden,
worse, though? Do
you know I what I mean? I feel like it's unfair to answer that question right now only because there's been such a spotlight put on it since this. And I don't know if I think it's – I don't think it's worse now on Johnny Gaudreau than it was last year. You know, I think that this has been going on throughout Gaudreau's career. Now, the game against Minnesota 16 days ago, yeah, there was a lot made of how many times he was targeted or he was slashed and whether or not he was targeted. But I don't think it's any – as a whole, it's any worse on Gaudreau now than it was last season. And I don't know about other star players in this league.
I don't want to put words in the coaches' mouths with Calgary, but it came up again yesterday and it came up at the time. I think at the end of the day, the thing that really shapes Glenn Gullitson, I think the thing that really is the burr under his saddle, is that they called the referee over and asked and said, are you seeing this? Can you pay attention? Can you watch this? And they feel like, my God, we asked for this. We warned you. I've talked to, you know, I don't want to name names, but a former NHL linesman who's very tall. And
last name rhymes with Mivic.
Might be. And he was the one who pointed out, look, if you call them over, they should at least look at it and they should at least watch. I think that's reasonable. I'm not looking for somebody going out and spearing, jumping, you know, beating the crap out of Eric Staal. It's not that league anymore. It used to be. I grant you that. But it ain't that league anymore.
Well, and it's funny because I'm like on the one side, I'm old school and saying slashing's part of the game, right? And the other side, I'm like, but you don't go and seek retribution because I just think that's kind of silly at this point. Now, you know what? The best example that I can give you is I just don't think that you go about your business any differently tonight. So a guy like Parise has had to deal with slashes his entire career. He's a smaller, skilled forward,
yeah.
And he's had to deal with those things. So, you know, if you're Troy Brouwer, look, Troy Brouwer caught Mitch Marner with a really, really hard, painful slash on Wednesday that could very well have broken a bone, right?
And the outrage was where? People called in complaining about it?
There was none.
No.
But you saw Marner shake his hand off. And
but he didn't get hurt.
So this one could have gotten there, right? Could have been the opposite. Staal slash just makes Gaudreau shake his hand, yeah. and Brouwer's slash on Marner breaks a bone. I guess for me, call it sure. Be stricter on it, absolutely. But it's never going away. It's not something that's going to be eliminated.
All I want to be is somewhat respectful for the people who have a very strong opinion the other way, because
that's why I think we're talking about it, because it is a story, right?
Yes, and sometimes I think there's a, you know, I don't want to come off as holier than thou or highbrow on this. I really do believe we're kind of at this crossroads of old and new that, you know, again, could it be? Yeah, I guess so. What? Derek Englund goes out and grabs Eric Staal and punches him out at center ice? When's the last time that happened? Not with Eric Staal, but when does that happen in this league anymore?
It doesn't.
So what are you going to do? You're going to go fire with fire? So you're going to go back and slash Zach Parise now? Is that how this works? Look, to me, the story, and again, I'll come back to it. The coaches called the referee over and asked and said, please pay attention to this. They were aware of it. They were cognizantly aware of it. I don't know how many times Bruce Boudreau is going to have to answer the question. I don't know how many times Eric Staal is going to have to answer the question. I don't know if something happens tonight. If something happens tonight, Pat, do we immediately jump to a conclusion? You know, if Eric Holla gets drilled in the corner, somebody gets, there you go, there's your, you know what I mean? If two guys drop the gloves, and I'm looking at this roster tonight, you tell me which two guys are going to drop the gloves.
Well, I know they've brought up Curtis Gabriel from the American
Hockey
League.
Okay, there he is.
Sounds like he's going to play tonight. And
is that his role in life? Iowa? Did Curtis bringing us the muscle?
Yeah, I'm going to take a, he certainly has got a lot of penalty minutes.
Then I stand corrected. Clearly, the Minnesota Wild
had 137 penalty minutes last year, 125 the year before.
So the only guy with any kind of, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this about him because I don't think he's that guy. I think that's what we thought he was, but I think Derek Englund's turned out to be more than that for the Calgary Flames. So who is Mr. Gabriel?
Englund's the only guy because Ferland's probably not fighting him. That's a big size mismatch. And who else is gonna drop the gloves on the lineup right now?
Thank you for pointing out Gabriel because where I was going to go and I completely glossed over him.
And that's if he plays. The indications are he's going to play, but
I guess the only other guy is Stewart, right? Is Chris Stewart?
See, and I feel like Stewart is more of the I guess you know what? Englund and Stewart are probably two guys that would drop him as well. I mean, Ferland's kind of one of those middleweight fighters who.
Yeah.
Tough as nails, and I would not want to be in a fight with that guy at all because he is as tough as they come. But he's not fighting the prototypical heavyweights if that ends up happening. And again, how often do we see?
So are the Wild guilty? Are the Wild they get a guilty conscience? What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it. How often?
Why
do you
bring up Muscle from the American League and then play him tonight?
Because I think that they have an idea that this might be happening, that there might be a feel that they're angry, but I don't think that they're feeling guilty about how the game was played. And again, I just don't know how many.
Guilty's the wrong word. What am I thinking? You know, when you feel like, oh, I might have done something bad here.
Sheepish?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of somewhere
you know
between
what I mean?
Sheepish
yeah.
and guilty.
I don't know.
Just how many times do we see fighting?
At all.
Settles. Not even at all.
Well, at all,
but
though.
But to settle scores over the last number of years, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, even go back to when Matt Cook drilled Mark Savard or when
that's about when it was coming out of the
Steve
game.
Moore nailed Marcus Naslin.
Yeah.
I mean, then, and that's 10 years ago and 7, 8 years ago, those were times that we saw fights as retribution. But even now, like,
so Kadri plays
at the time, it doesn't happen.
So Kadri plays in Vancouver tonight, tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
What are we expecting there after the hit on Daniel Sedin? I mean, that was a big. Remember, that was a general manager's meeting topic.
Yep.
Those kind of blindside hits. So, Marcus Granlund going to go out there and seek revenge?
No, but Kadri might.
Yeah, he might.
Might have to answer the bell, as it were. But okay. I'd be far less convinced of that happening now than I would have been even 5 years ago. Yep. 5 years ago, I've been like, yeah, Kadri's going to fight.
Yep.
You know, come tomorrow in Vancouver, I don't know if Kadri's going to fight or not. I don't know if there's somebody that is because yeah, you could have somebody who's big and plays a tough guy role drop the gloves with him, but you're not going to do that. You don't see 6'4" guys fight 5'11" players.
And I feel like I'm always apologizing and always putting things in context. This is not a referendum on whether it's right or wrong. This is not two guys sitting here going no fighting, no fighting, no fighting. That's not it at all. I think there's a pretty good record of me being pro-fighting in the history of my time here. I'm just looking at this going, I just don't think it's that league anymore. I really don't think it's that league anymore. And we'll see, because we certainly haven't seen something like this in the last couple of years, maybe since the dust-up in Vancouver, right? That playoff series, that got nasty, that got heated, that got boiled over. You know, ask Alex Burrows about Chris Russell in that one. Ask Derek. Who Derek England had a couple of guys there. He was busy.
Yep.
He was busy.
Yep.
Derek England was busy. Anything tonight?
I would be surprised if there's really anything at all.
The 2 points matter.
For both teams.
Yeah.
For both teams.
You can't be running around right now if you're Calgary trying to get even. You're the most penalized team in the National Hockey League.
I would imagine that the referees are also going to be somewhat aware of what's being talked about coming into this
game. They weren't in the third period in Minnesota, were they?
Different referees, though.
Oh, that's true.
You never know.
That's true. Whew. We buried the lead. We got to come back and talk about actually the real story here tonight.
The two goalies.
No, and I'm not being facetious. Yeah, the two goalies.
It's an outstanding story.
Sorry, the two Calgary goalies.
Calgary developed goalies
which
going head-to-head. And two, right now, two of the goaltenders playing the best hockey in the National Hockey League. Like the other side, if they gave away Vezina trophies in early December, would have the Vezina trophy right now. He's been that good.
Better than Price?
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that Dubnyk's been as good as Price.
Okay, but better than Price?
Not better, so they might go head-to-head.
Might have
for
to
it.
Give them both a trophy.
Okay, he can have the Western Conference, Vezina.
Okay. I like that.
If we're giving them away in December, we might
split the conferences. Willie, are you hanging around, Will? Will, are you hanging around?
For what?
Where are you tomorrow?
I'm at London Drugs on 130th Avenue Southeast and South Trail Crossing.
And why are you there?
I'm there to help with the spirit of giving in support of the mustard seed. And some good news, actually, Rob, today from the fine folks at London Drugs. If anybody wants to come see me tomorrow on 130th Avenue from 1 until 5, if you donate an item for the spirit of giving, London Drugs will also donate an item. So it's a 2-for-1 special for the 4 hours.
Kind of
Saturday.
A matching thing tomorrow.
Yes.
Of course, all of this is for the mustard seed. What we're really looking for, because it's 80% of their clients, Pat, are men. And right now, it's just about kind of the things that make life go. I mean, new underwear, toothbrushes, razors, deodorants, just the basics right now is what we're looking for. So get involved, a great way to help people in your community.
Yep. Yeah, it's a really cool thing we're doing this year.
And Will, one more time, where are you going to be and how can people help?
I'll be at London Drugs in South Trail Crossing just off 130th Avenue. Come down, give a toothbrush, a razor, some underwear. Those are the biggest items of need right now. And if you come down and see me from 1 until 5 tomorrow afternoon at that London Drugs, London Drugs will donate also another item that are on the top of the Mustard Seed's Most Wanted list. And again, you can donate at any London Drugs location in the city, but I'll be down in South Trail Crossing tomorrow.
Good stuff. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's talk about what I think is the story tonight, is the two goalies, Minnesota and Calgary, sporting Calgary-developed goalies, which is kind of really cool. It's Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
To no one's surprise, it will be Devin Dubnyk in goal for the Minnesota Wild, Chad Johnson in goal for the Calgary Flames, and Johnson talking earlier today about why he's being successful right now.
You know, I want to be that calm, composed sort of player back there. You know, I think that's what you want your goalie. You don't want your goalie flopping around, making things look difficult. Like, I just don't think that brings confidence to the team, and I've always tried to try and be as calm as possible. And I think that confidence comes from just, like, my preparation and knowing that I'm ready for games, and I've done what I've had to do to make sure that I'm ready for a season, for a game, for that next save. And, you know, it's like going into, like, an exam or a test. If, you know, you're going there, you're not ready for it. You're going to be fidgety and thinking, and your mind's wandering. And if you're ready, you're just going to be calm and composed. And that's the way I feel. I feel like I'm always ready.
There's absolutely no way that he's going to be here in a month.
Who?
Chad Johnson.
He's not going to be here in a month.
No chance. So, first of all, you got a goalie who's playing out of his mind. Mm. He's really playing well right now. Mm-hmm. Second, he talks on game day, Pat, right? Third, he talks on game day and gives really good answers. Mm-hmm. You used the term unicorn earlier in the week.
We're talking about Dougie Hamilton, yeah.
This is it. It's over.
So where's he going? Where's he going?
I don't know, but it won't be here. It won't be where we can get him.
So you're saying because
we too good.
Can't have
too
nice
much.
Things.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah, we can't
too
have
much.
Nice things. I understand.
Too much. Look.
That's a really glass half full way of looking at things. That's a really, like, you know, like.
You like that?
It's just more
it's,
of.
Come in with my sunny
your
disposition.
Outlook on life just brightens up the day, you know?
Well, Pat, based on the things that I saw in the dressing room today, it's unbelievable that we're even here now.
That's true.
Look, all kidding aside, the Chad Johnson story is a good one. Thought it was interesting that I think three burning questions you brought up a texter yesterday who said, hey, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. There's other, and I think that's absolutely true. And Tom Reed, a former NHLer and color analyst on the Wild broadcast, you know, he was on I think on Hockey Central. They played the conversation when I talked to him, and that's what I was trying to ask him about Devin Dubnyk. Like, when did Devin Dubnyk become just, boy, he's here and he's on a really good roll, to, geez, you know, maybe he's the guy. And I don't think there's an answer to that, but, you know, we talked about this before. Maybe year two. I mean, it's one thing. Guys have been, you know, kind of – I remember Mika Kiprusoff's run in 2003-04, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of us were kind of going, okay, now there's a lockout, and then he's going to come back. Is he going to be the same guy? I mean, can you expect him to be the same guy? Well, he came and he won the Vezina, so he was the same guy. But I think that validated what happened the first year. I think there's plenty of examples of guys who, you know, get off to good runs and then flatten. And there's plenty of guys who, you know, like Chad Johnson. It takes a while. Get their opportunity. They run with it, and that's what they are. And I think Devin Dubnyk, to a certain extent, is that. I just think it's a great matchup tonight. And both Calgary-trained goalies who, quite honestly, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because Hockey Calgary will get mad at me, but there's a movement afoot to try and recruit more kids in this city to play the position.
Yep.
And this is a great poster for that.
Absolutely. And it's cool because, you know, they're playing some of the best hockey at their position as anyone on the planet right now. I mean, Devin Dubnyk and Chad Johnson. Devin Dubnyk all season. Johnson's been good all year, but the last month he's really kicked it. Like, we're talking about a .951 save percentage in his last 8 starts. 17 starts for Dubnyk. He's at .946, which is ridiculous over that many starts. Like, we're seeing two of the 3, 4, 5 best goaltenders right now in the National Hockey League in terms of how they're playing right now.
In this moment,
we're seeing them on the same ice tonight. And the fact that both of those guys, you know, similar ages and kind of contemporaries who came up through Calgary minor hockey.
Chad talked about playing against Devin.
Exactly. I think that that's a really, it's awesome selfishly for us in this city to say, hey, there's two of our guys. But B, to your point, you know, it's a great poster. There's two poster children for, hey, you can make it. You can play in the NHL. And it's a good way for anybody who says, hey, you know, I want to play goal, but, you know, maybe there's not as many chances, so maybe I'll focus on being a skater. Well, all of a sudden you're like, well, no, maybe I can make it. Maybe I can get to where I want to get to.
Can you hum Kumbaya while I finish this?
No,
because there's another interesting split to this if we're going to go down that path. Mm-hmm. Both going different paths to get where they are
for sure, but similar. Like, different paths, but like similarly winding paths.
No, but Devin Dubnyk went major junior. I'm going all the way back.
Oh, for sure.
Devin Dubnyk went major junior and was a first round pick. Chad Johnson went the AJHL route, played in Brooks, ended up in the University of Alaska Fairbanks, was a fifth round pick. But here they are today. Now, Dubnyk, I think, you know, let's be perfectly honest, even in his time in Edmonton, he was established. He's been established in the NHL far longer than Chad. But here they are. Here they are tonight. There's going to be family and relatives, and you know and I know there's going to be buddies sitting in the stands that played with those guys growing up that know I knew when. I remember when Chad came out, or I remember when Dubnyk. That's great. That's fantastic. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's the story to me.
Yep.
Tonight, that's the story.
I just like how, if you were to bring this up, say that you and I were talking 5 years ago, and, and I came to you and say, Rob, you know what I think is going to happen in December of 2017? I think Devin Dubnyk and Chad Johnson are going to be two of the hottest and top goaltenders in the National Hockey League.
I would have laughed at you. And you know why I would have laughed at you? Because Western Canada doesn't produce goalies for the NHL. Think back. There was that conversation around that time.
And now, you know, these guys have... Look, Chad Johnson at that time 5 years ago was a capable backup. Absolutely a capable backup with the Boston Bruins, but had been behind Tim Thomas and was behind Tuukka Rask. And you know, certainly looked like that was going to be his role. And then, you know, he goes to New York and same thing. And then and then gets his first real opportunity to play big NHL minutes in Buffalo last year and does a great job with them. And now is getting another opportunity this year and is doing an outstanding job with them. And 5 years ago, Devin Dubnyk looked like a guy with, you know, he's put up some decent numbers at times with a bad Oilers team. But, you know, I don't know if he's – and then it fizzled out completely.
I don't know, Pat. I was reading stuff in Edmonton and he was the problem, right? Like he was.
I just remember having a chat before Dubnyk. It would have been before Dubnyk's, I think, final season in Edmonton. So it would have been off season prior to that year. I remember talking to Reed Wilkins and him talking about how you take a look at Devin Dubnyk's save percentage numbers, and they're actually really strong.
Yeah.
And the
Rob Bowman said that yesterday, didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. And the feel is that maybe he could be really good for them this coming season. Then it all completely went to pot, and that was the season
that
he fizzled
right out. He was a bit
of a
whipping boy, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And then he gets ran out of there, and then with Nashville and Montreal, not only did he not look like a number one goaltender, he didn't look like a capable professional goaltender. Couldn't win hockey games in the American Hockey League. He was bad at that level.
Well, the guy sitting at the table here can attest to the fact
that
he was a black ace, or he wasn't even a black ace for Montreal. Just sent home.
And then he gets this opportunity in Arizona. He worked apparently, and you kind of talk to people who know him about how hard he worked that summer following that year.
Yeah.
Got an opportunity to be a backup in Arizona, that time Phoenix, under Mike Smith. Did well as a backup. Minnesota was in desperate need of having a goaltender. Chuck Fletcher, I remember telling us, Chuck Fletcher's going to join us on pregame tonight at 6:10.
Oh, awesome.
And
great.
I remember him telling us that year. I might. We'll see. I remember him telling us that year because they came in once Dubnyk had established himself that year as the guy they're not going away from.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking him about the whole lead up to it. And he said, guys, I got to be honest with you. At that time, with Nick Backstrom, and I think Josh Harding might have been retired by that point, but Darcy Kemper was there.
Yeah.
And at that point, we were just looking for anybody to win us one hockey game. And we went out and we thought Devin Dubnyk could win us one hockey game. We thought he had no idea it was going to turn into what it did. And I just found it fascinating how he described it. We were looking for a guy for the next game and that's it, because we didn't have confidence at the time that Kemper or Backstrom could win us a game. We just wanted a guy for right now in the immediacy, and look what it's turned into. Now 2 years of they found their number one goalie, and it came kind of completely out of nowhere. It's a pretty cool story, And can you think of a more unexpected redemption story? Like Mike Smith was unexpected, and there's been a number, but this one might be
Dubnyk?
I can't think of one that is more polar opposite than this one.
Well, to a lesser extent, Brian Elliott, because he kind of got run out of Ottawa, went to Colorado, couldn't find work, took the two-way in St. Louis, and you know, kind of went from there. Just one thing, if I can, just wanted to throw this out. When it comes to Devin Dubnyk, there's a great article out there on Sports Illustrated. Devin uses a coach named Lyle Mast, and Lyle works with goalies on head trajectory, which I find ironic but I talked to Leland Irving about Lyle Mast I want to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and he became a disciple. And it's again, one of these kind of nouveau about how you track the puck and where your head's at and where your eyes are at and things like that. And I'm not even going to attempt to try it. You can look up Lyles on the internet. The Google machine will get him. But there was an excellent article in Sports Illustrated talking about Devan Dubnyk as a kind of a believer and a user of this. So sometimes there's a reason. Sometimes you got to, you know, when it's not working, you break it down, you go and you ask for help. And I give Devan Dubnyk credit for being open to new things. I think, it, you know, in your mid-20s, you think you probably know it all. But if somebody can give you something to try, who knows if that's the exact reason, Pat, but I found that to be somewhat fascinating. By the way, we are in the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge today because it's game day.
It is.
Did you hear who's participating in Super Skills tomorrow? Did you see the note?
Well, in what?
Because you guys are doing it, so I'm assuming you broke the news.
In what context?
Well, they're going to be participants. The two injured guys, the two guys wearing yellow jerseys.
Oh, yes. Johnny Gaudreau and Lance Bowman.
Which I think is kind of cool.
Do you know who the coaches, the honorary coaches, are going to be?
No. Can you break that down?
Are we allowed to break that?
Oh, Derek's giving you the evil eye.
It's just the morning. It's just the morning show, guys. Boomer and Warner are going to be honorary coaches, as far as I know. So,
do they know the way to the dome?
I think that they. I think they might have a Warner's at least played here before.
Hey, Boomer's so been here for a concert. So
Boomer at one time covered the Flames like ages ago. So I think they might remember how to get it. Has the location hasn't changed? The access to the building hasn't changed. It's the like funny, riding a bike,
look,
Rob. Riding a bike.
Warner's a vaunted alumni member. I can only imagine that, you know, to be respect. But there's got to be this feeling of guys sitting on the bench with Boomer back there going, "Who the hell is that?" Right? Is there a little bit of that?
A lot of that, but he's going to be an honorary coach. I think it's actually pretty cool what they're doing. They're doing
I do too.
Honorary coach, and then another honorary. So it'll be Boomer, and each team's got a special O honorary coach.
Oh,
as well,
no way.
Which I think is awesome. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Did you get that done?
No. Nope.
Is that your handiwork?
No. Because look, Brian Burke and the Flames are look. Flames have been special O supporters for they're the longest special O. Just celebrated their 30th year in the city, and the Calgary Flames were the original partner of Special Olympics Calgary. And I think it's incredible the partnership they've had.
Since we threw it out there, by the way, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Special Olympics, Canadian.
Absolutely.
Dr. Frank.
Yep. Yeah, Dr. Frank Hayden.
Just went into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame in the builders category. Special Olympics is a Canadian-built, started program, which I think is phenomenal.
Yep. It's one of
I didn't know that. Yeah. I did. That's going to be really cool.
Of all the things that this job has allowed me to do in however my decade, 13 years working in this industry, the partnership and the stuff I've got to do with Special Olympics is by far the coolest I've ever got to do. It is so awesome being able to work with them.
Flames Foundation night tonight.
Yep. And the toy drive in Section 227 tonight. Yeah, the Flames better have.
You had Katie on with you. So what do they need for that?
Okay, so 227 from 5:30 p.m. until the end of the first intermission tonight. The Calgary Flames better have are doing their toy drive in honor of Emerson Stajan. Brand new toys and gift cards for teens and tots.
Teens.
So they want last year they had trouble kind of finding toys and stuff to give to some of the teenagers. So that's why they're really encouraging gift cards, movies or Starbucks or restaurant or whatever. That's a really cool idea too. And last year, 27 boxes, thousands of dollars worth of prizes were dropped off when they did this. Looking for more this year because we know how generous Calgary Flames fans are, and they did a great job last year. It'll be distributed evenly between Ronald McDonald House and the Alberta Children's Hospital.
So lots of good things tonight at the hockey game.
Absolutely.
Lots that you can be part of. And Super Skills tickets are still available tomorrow. Can I give a little quick shout-out?
Sure.
Sport Check inviting all the kids back from the development camp in August that we all were part of. Invited all those kids and their families back. So a couple hundred people involved with the camp, they're getting a chance thanks to Sport Check. So that's going to be exciting tomorrow. When we come back, we're going to talk politics. You and I are going to talk politics. You ready for that? I want to take you out of your comfort zone. I want to shake it up a little bit.
That's like me talking about how to seduce women right out of my comfort zone and my knowledge area.
Why do you have to be that way?
Just
why do you have to be that way?
Just putting it on the table.
Ladies and gentlemen, politics when we return. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Some guests on Sportsnet 960 appear on the South Street Burger guest hotline. Satisfy your craving for a flame-grilled burger with hand-cut onion rings made in-house and local craft beers on tap. Now with four locations to serve you.
The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Go get him, killer!
Go get him, killer.
There's something peculiar. Like I know why
Dave's a killer.
I know I've heard that
Dave's
somewhere before,
mess.
But it's a little bit different than how I remember it.
Are you sure?
I feel like I've heard this before.
Are you sure, Pat? Because that was audio that I personally got for our radio
you
station.
You sure that wasn't from a popular hockey
around,
movie?
No, I stuck around late. One more time, Will, just so that we can, you know, rest or get Pat to rest at ease.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Go get him, killer!
How many times have
sounds
we,
familiar,
sounds,
but slightly different.
Well, it sounds familiar because how many times have we talked to Mark Giordano and Brad for a living?
Those guys are pretty old school.
They are.
It's not the first time,
right?
Gio's put a bounty on somebody's
yeah.
head. That's a good point.
No.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Peanut vendors are standing up to him. I want to do this with you. I want to get a little political with you, Pat. Do you pay taxes?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have kids?
No.
Do you have any linkage directly to grassroots sports or minor hockey? Any direct link right now in your life?
Direct link? Yeah, a few. Yeah.
What? Children fathered out of wedlock?
Well, no. Like you said I have people that I know who have. So, do I have a child playing minor hockey?
I said
no.
Direct.
Well, no. First,
that's indirect.
You said, do you have any type of link? Okay. No, I do not have a child playing minor hockey. No.
It's so frustrating. Okay. You're.
Well, frame your questions better.
I framed it right. You're ruining it.
No, I do not have any children playing minor hockey.
I want to play this. Here's a little clip. By the way, tomorrow, 2 o'clock on the radio station, you'll be able to hear our full conversation with Tom Rennie, President and CEO of Hockey Canada.
It's good chat.
Thank you. He brought this up, and I want to run it by you because I am completely 100% biased, as you will find in this clip. So I want you to act as independent thought here and as an activist on this. Okay. This is just part of the conversation, but I like this idea. Here's Tom Rennie, the President of Hockey Canada.
I'd love to be able to create some type of a program with the federal government. Now we're just talking, aren't we? I mean,
we're just talking.
We're over the kitchen table.
Absolutely.
Here. But I just say to myself, okay, why can't the federal government and even from you know by extension the provincial government, municipal as well, why can't we say to the volunteer population, not just in hockey, and let's
sport.
Why can't we pay them? Or give them a tax break for every hour that they dedicate as a volunteer in a week, why can't we somehow give them a tax credit? Why can't we somehow say, you know what, you're valuable to us. You're working with the youth of our country. You know what, we're gonna equate what might be minimum wage
mm-hmm.
or give you a tax break as to incent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe this population, this
yes.
new volunteer looks to that.
You have to ask them.
You do.
Yeah.
And you know what I think? They're so bright. They're so cutting edge in the way they think. They're so personable that if we were to, if somehow we could invite them in to volunteer, I think that this group of volunteers, this generation of volunteers, could be as good as any we've ever had. But you have to incent them.
And then just have the local minor hockey associations provide a form. So we're solving the problem right here, Tom. It's simple, right? Like Kabalka needs more work in Calgary, but they can provide, right? They can provide a document. You provide the document, you get a tax break. Thank you for volunteering.
For sure. If I coach hockey,
right?
You know, or I'm a billet mom.
Yeah.
Let's say, or I'm an official.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case may be, let's take coaching for example. If I'm a certified coach,
yep.
At 1, 2, 3, whatever it is,
yep.
That should qualify me. You know, and if I want to be, and I want to go through the process of learning coaching skills,
right,
for example. Why can't we recognize that as giving of your time and effort to help children enjoy sport?
Right.
And somehow I believe the government can step up.
What do you think? Now, this is, again, we'll apply the same metric here. This is just two guys talking over a table here because, you know, our knowledge of tax law and things like that. But the genesis of the idea is you're going to volunteer, you're going to help kids. And I know it was a hockey conversation, but I think we established all sports, minor soccer, luge, whatever. You're going to volunteer your time. What about a tax break? What about some level of government saying that that's got value and will rebate? I'm not talking about thousands of dollars, but as a parent, I have in the past received the, you know, the child rebate. You know, there's been in the past the opportunity to, you know, get a break on your taxes for renovating your home or whatever. But what about saying to the people who volunteer in sports that, you know, you get a break?
I think it's really noble. I think it's a great idea in theory, but I think it needs to extend to more than just sports because there are people who volunteer their time for
See, that was the rub because we talked about going to break, right? One of your passions, which is Special Olympics.
Well,
right?
But, you know, Special Olympics falls under sports,
yeah,
right?
That's true, yeah.
But I guess
lots of people who volunteer for a lot of things.
Yeah.
The only thing, and this is why I think the conversation's interesting, is the government, our governments in the past, have put a premium on youth and have put a premium on the betterment of their lives. And I think we would all agree sports can be that. We are a country that relies heavily on volunteers for all of our sports. Not predominantly, but heavily. And I just wonder, and especially nowadays, because I'm not sure, boy, this sounds like me attacking millennials or whatever. That's not what it's intended to be. But I think there's so much going on now that I'm not sure people necessarily volunteer the same way they used to unless they're asked. If they're asked, I find the kids nowadays, absolutely they're in. But I wonder if we did something to incentive, you know, put a little incentive into it.
I just think that it to prioritize those volunteering their time in sports, I think overshadows the equal volunteer time that is given by people outside of sports. So as much as I love the idea, look, how many times have you said that sports at its best is a distraction and
professional sports?
Agreed, but I think as important as sports are in development of maturity and values and teamwork and all that type of stuff, it remains a distraction to real life in most cases, even if it's not professional.
See, I profoundly disagree with that.
I think sports is important. Don't get me wrong.
No. I understand that, and I'm allowed to profoundly disagree with you and still call you friend. So I'm not excommunicating you. I profoundly disagree with that because I believe that part of a healthy human being includes recreation activity, includes physical activity, includes being challenged mentally, that a youth who grows up outside of the realm of any kind of sports is not necessarily, I just don't think is as prepared, my opinion, as prepared for life as someone who has been part of the sports.
But there are plenty of other recreational activities that are just as beneficial as organized sports, I believe. Like, I think there are...
Like... Because I agree with you. I'm just trying to think
off the top of my head. Like,
whether it
be exercising on your own or playing with friends outside.
You know that should be incentive. That should be an incentive. The government should give you a tax for playing with your friends outside because we don't do that enough.
I guess I just like I think off the top of my head the volunteer work that's done in the mental health community or the LGBTQ community, which have nothing to do with sports. I think that if you're going to, you know, incentivize what you're doing in sports and not do it elsewhere, I think that it devalues the important work that's being done elsewhere. And the important work, like, look, I volunteer at a place called the Distress Center, and that place can't run without, you know, 300 plus volunteers. Yep. And
Pat,
and I just,
let me put it this way to you, Pat. If you, sir, who do that, and I don't, you do that. If you wanted to advocate on their behalf for the same, I'm there with you, mm-hmm. pal. I'm there with you. I just find myself that I tend to advocate for this particular topic, and it came up in this conversation. And don't think for a second that I haven't thought about just that. And maybe, you know, there used to be the Peace Corps, and there used to be, Katimovic. Do you remember Katimovic?
No.
Derek? Katimovic?
What was it?
Will? Anybody? Used to be a summer program that you could go and you could see the country and you could help and you could build, and it was a volunteer thing, and it was, oh boy.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds cool indeed. But it was I believe to be a federal run program. The Katimovic Wizards will likely chime in, and I'm sure there are people.
I'm not saying it right.
No. I'm just wanting somebody to back me up because I might even be saying the name wrong. But it used to be a federally funded program that, you know, kind of encouraged people to give back to their. I'm just saying maybe the modern incarnation of that, Pat, to your point, volunteerism. If you volunteer X amount of hours a year, you know, and you have a document from that, and I'm now creating work for all these agencies, but here it is. You submit it with your taxes, and you get a tax break. Because who couldn't use a tax break? And maybe it's a sliding scale. If you do X amount of hours, it's this much or whatever. But I thought, when Tom brought that up, I thought, cool, let's talk about that. Why don't we talk about that?
It's a very – no. Like, I don't disagree with him. I just think – because I think if you're listening at home and you volunteer, you know, 10 hours a week as your coach of your son or daughter's hockey team, or if you volunteer X amount of hours helping out with your daughter or son's soccer team or whatever it might be, like, I absolutely think there is an immense amount of value in that. And we don't have minor sports. We don't have minor hockey and recreational soccer and you know, peewee football if we don't have volunteers and if they aren't there doing what they do. You know, I just think that it's very, very noble, and I think it's a really worthwhile conversation to have as long as it extends beyond sports, which I think it's pretty clear in this conversation that, you know, we're on the
I'm advocating for the sports part of it, and if somebody wanted to start advocating on the other side of it, they got my vote.
Give me both. How's that?
Sure. Sure. More with Tom Rennie on Saturday, 2 o'clock here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The entire conversation is up right now online. We'll take a break. It's Football Friday coming up around the corner. Arash Madani, our final Arash Madani CFL visit.
Regular CFL visit. I'm sure that he'll join us again.
He can't help himself. We can't help ourselves. And Jason Lackenfora from CBS Sports, our NFL insider. Of course, it's the big show brought to you by the Comedy Cave. You don't have to... You just go and enjoy. Fun. Who doesn't like fun? Do you like fun, Pat? Are you a big fan of fun, Pat?
I love fun. You know what else I love, Rob?
Yeah.
I love value.
Do you love ribs, Pat?
I do like ribs.
Could I combine fun, value, and ribs for you?
If you give me value and ribs together, I am there every single time.
The Rib Tickler, $29.95. You and three other friends can eat that. Not $29.95 each. $29.95 total plus $10.
I wonder if Jack would be okay with me coming down and ordering a Rib Tickler for myself. My appetite is stupid for the size of human being I am. I like people chirp me for having a hungry man dinner for myself from Chicken on the Way. I do it without blinking an eye. I think I could do an entire Rib Tickler by myself. And I wonder if Jack would be okay with doing that.
I think he would.
Because even if it was just for one person, $29.95, I'm okay with paying it. The fact that it's for four people makes it even better.
Arash Madani coming up next, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Friday night hockey at the Saddle Dome. Flames in Minnesota. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is on the air and online at 6, live from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Steinberg hosts 60 minutes of hockey talk to get you ready for the Flames and Wild. Derek and Peter call the Flames and Wild at 7. After the game, make sure you lock it on for a full breakdown on the post-game show and get your takes ready for the overtime call-in show. Flames and Wild, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you in part by Shane Holmes.